Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hello everyone. I guess I want to start out. I hope this is a great Saturday morning for most of Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, depending on where you are residing. First of all, please go to Wiser Living, WeiserLiving.com. And on that initial page, you'll see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos that we've uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archived radio programs at Wiser Living, that's W-E-I-S-E-R, Living Radio. And you can check us out, or actually you can check out the menu bar that will list all of the articles and programs and services, Wiser Living seminars and recipes, as well as products. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. So WiserLiving.com, subscribe to Wiser Living TV, follow us on Wiser Living Radio, like us at Facebook.com/WiserLiving, and you can also connect with us at Google Plus, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Wow. Well, this is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune into this broadcast today. You know, your time is valuable. I realize that, and I'm truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes, I want to add to your wellness experience, and let's hope those 28 minutes don't just fly by as they usually do. If you cook at home, odds are you have a spice rack or a bunch of spices in your cabinet. You may have somewhere between 10 to 15 different herbs and spices, but processed food doesn't really or rely just on simple ingredients from its flavor. And you're going to hear this word flavor a lot today. Natural flavor. Natural flavor is the fourth most common ingredient in about 80,000 foods. There are 80,000 foods, and only salt, water, and sugar is mentioned more on food labels. I mean, for thousands of years, spices and sauces and different forms of cooking have flavored our food naturally. So why is there a multi-billion-dollar industry based on copying these results? Well, food flavoring in America began during the Industrial Revolution, and at that time, you know, meat and vegetables became available from distant lands, so they were processed, or actually they had to be processed and preserved to lengthen the shelf life. But back then, people were used to eating everything fresh, like, you know, fresh kale, or, you know, just picked from the garden, or just pulled from the tree, or just fished out of the lake. You know, people weren't accustomed to eating beef that had been butchered 1,000 miles away and took a week to get to them. So for the first time in American history, foods weren't going directly from the field to the plate, which means that freshness became a major issue. You know, it became an issue because the flavor of the food had been lost during the preservation process, you know, preserving it and processing it. This is where the so-called flavoring or flavors was born. You know, flavor and taste are not the same thing. Flavor and taste are not the same thing. You know, we get them confused most of the time, but in reality, they're vastly different. You know, flavor is how we perceive food and other substances based on a combination of senses, which include taste, touch, and smell. You know, and I thought, you know, when you eat some food, the first thing you do is you taste it. Not true. As a matter of fact, as much as 80% of what we perceive as taste actually comes from our smell. All foods and everything around us are made up of chemicals. Whether they occur in nature or if they are man-made in a lab, that means that everything we smell, everything we taste is a response to a chemical or a chemical. So both artificial and natural flavors contain chemicals. The difference between natural and artificial flavors is the source of the chemical. So I'm going to mention that, you're going to hear me mentioning the difference between these two throughout this presentation today. You know, natural flavors are created from anything that can be eaten, like vegetables and animals. Even if those edible things are processed in the lab to create flavor. You know, all of this can be quite confusing at times, right? I mean, some of you are confused right now, as I was when I was doing the research on all of this. You know, all of this can be quite confusing. Natural and artificial flavors are defined for us, the consumer, in the Code of Federal Regulations. And even this, I should just read this verbatim. A key line from this definition is, and I quote, "A natural flavor is the essential oil, oleo resin, essence of extracted protein, hydrolyte, distillate, or any product of roasting, heating, or enzymolysis," which is the breakdown of enzymes, "which contains the flavoring constituents derived from a spice, fruit, or fruit juice, vegetable, or vegetable juice, edible yeast, herb, bark, bud, root, leaf, or some similar plant material, meat, seafood, poultry, egg, dairy, products of fermentation thereof, whose significant function in food is flavoring rather than nutritional." I don't know about you, but that's confusing to me. Now, on the other hand, artificial flavors are those that are made from components that do not meet that long definition that you just heard. So the real question at hand is not the legal definition, you know, what that is, but what is the practical difference between these two types of flavor? You know, natural and artificial flavors, they really aren't that much different from each other. And those so-called natural flavors can actually contain synthetic chemicals. Now, I'm a bit skeptical when I see the word all natural or natural flavors, because these terms are loosely thrown around. You know, basically, you should avoid both synthetic and natural flavors as much as you can. And in saying that, you want to avoid them by minimizing your consumption of processed food. Now, there's where the tough one is, because when you go in the grocery store, most of the aisles are processed. It's just usually, I used to say that when you go in the grocery store, the periphery wasn't, but you know, you got frozen foods on one side and on the back or the side now. So that's processed. So why flavor the food in the first place? Well, a great deal of scientific engineering and design time goes into making flavors for processed food. I mean, this specialized work is done by just 500 professional flavors. 500 now, who are responsible for the majority of the flavors in nearly all of the processed foods in the United States. 500 people. So basically, how food tastes is largely determined by the volatile chemicals in the food. Chemicals that give food a specific smell are extremely important because, remember, smell makes up 80 to 90% of the sense of taste. So in processed foods, this mixture of chemicals is called flavor. Now, the same mixture of these chemicals would be called fragrance if it was found in cleaning products or perfumes or cosmetics. So you get the same flavor in different products, whether you're eating them or not. The difference between the two is small, and the companies that produce these secret is the operative word here, these secret mixtures are often exactly the same. So the cost of the flavors in a food can be around one half of a penny per serving. But processed foods is such a big market that flavoring has become big business as well. You know, the annual sales of fragrance and flavor of the fragrance and flavor industry is estimated to be about $24 billion. That's what it'd be. And it's controlled by just four major companies. So there's not a big difference between an artificial and a natural flavor. But why do we use flavors at all? Well, food products are flavored, not for your taste buds or for its nutritive value, but to increase sales by making mouth-watering taste. I mean, I'm saying it right now, my mouth is watering. You know, making packaged foods taste fresh, giving processed foods a bolder taste than a comparable natural food, and making the taste short-lived. so that you eat more. I mean, you've seen that, well, you probably heard or seen the commercial where it says, I bet you can't eat one. And then blank, blank, blank. I bet you can't eat one chip or one cookie. Or take one, or just one teaspoon of a, you know, of a processed food. And so the processed foods have a bolder taste than the natural food. And they make the taste short-lived so that you eat more. In other words, the goal is to make the processed food addictive. For instance, in fruit flavors, let's take fruit flavors. I mean, in fruit flavors, you want a quick burst in the beginning. Then at the finish, you don't want it to linger long so that you want more of it. And that's what normally happens. It's a quick fix. And then you eat a little more and a little more, which equals an addiction. So basically, an addictive taste is being created. I mean, there are other reasons to flavor foods, though. I mean, when foods are pasteurized for safety, many of the volatile chemicals evaporate or they're degraded in that process. So to make a product like orange juice or apple juice to taste fresh after pasteurization, which most of them are pasteurized, these chemicals have to be restored. So they dupe your taste buds and your smell receptors into believing you are drinking fresh orange juice, when in reality, you may be drinking old juice. I mean, flavors are a complex mixture. I mean, that sometimes are made up of more than 100 chemicals. I mean, in addition to the flavors themselves, these mixtures contain chemicals that have other functions, like solvents, like emulsifiers, flavor modifiers, preservatives, which makes up 80 to 90% of the mixture. I mean, the main difference between a natural flavor and an artificial flavor is the origin of the flavor. It's the origin of the chemical. You know, natural flavors must be derived from a plant or animal material. It must be derived from it. Think about it. You might want to write that down. It must be derived from it only. Artificial flavors are synthesized in the lab. Okay, it makes sense. But the actual chemical in these two kinds of flavors may be exactly the same. When you look at the FDA or the Food and Drug Administration, they define natural flavors as a substance derived from animals or plants, and artificial flavors as those that are not, basically. So from a food manufacturer's perspective, the difference between a natural flavor and an artificial flavor often comes down to the cost and the consumer preference. A natural flavor almost always costs much more than an artificial flavor. And some food, you know, some food makers, they're willing to pay more because they know that some consumers prefer natural flavors, so they can charge you more. What's interesting about this is that the chemical mixtures that make up artificial flavors are often simpler than the natural flavors. I mean, the reason for this is that artificial flavors contain fewer chemicals than natural. That's kind of like a flipping the script, which can be a mixture of several hundred chemicals. Natural flavors could have several hundred chemicals. Artificial flavors could have less chemicals. But are those artificial flavors safe? You know, the flavor industry, they argue that artificial flavors have stricter safety evaluations than natural flavors, but the truth is that safety evaluations for all foods, all food additives and flavor additives, are not as thorough as they should be. I mean, they're not even policing it as we suspect. So when you see the word flavor on a food label, you have no clue what chemicals or carrier solvents or preservatives have been added to the food. That's all. And this can be a serious concern with people who have unusual food allergies or those on restricted diets. Because, you know, for some reason in the last, 20-25 years, it seems like everybody has a food allergy. Everybody gets tested, they have food allergies. Not to one or two foods, but maybe 10, 15 to 20 foods. You know, for quote-unquote organic foods, the natural flavor must have been produced without synthetic solvents or carriers or artificial preservatives. The additives not allowed in a natural flavor or in a natural flavor in organic foods includes propylene glycol, which is also a chemical that's in antifreeze for your car, polyglycerol ester, the fatty acid, You know, you hear fatty acids go, that must be good, but it's synthesized. You know, mono and diglycerides, benzoic acid, polysorbates, medium chain triglycerides. Man, this is like that word to me it means it's natural, but it's not. BHT, BHA, and triacetin, which you know, I don't see the word triacetin as much, but BHT and BHA you see all the time. You know, in foods made with organic ingredients, however, food processors, they have a greater leeway to use synthetic extraction or carrier salt. Once again, you're probably better off avoiding artificial flavors in your food. But are natural flavors, are they really natural? Not necessarily, because both natural and artificial flavors can be made in the lab, once again. And natural flavors are not necessarily healthier than artificial flavors. For example, anal secretions from beavers, which, you know, beavers use to mark their territory, smells like vanilla. Now, these secretions, called castoreum, may be used as vanilla flavorings in baked goods, puddings, and chewing gum. Guess what you'll never see on the label? You'll never see beaver and anal secretions on your food label. And you probably won't see castoreum either. All that has to be listed is vanilla natural flavor, because, after all, beaver and anal secretions are natural. In case you were wondering, there are actually quite a few foods that could contain castoreum, like alcoholic beverages, baked goods, frozen dairy, hard candy, soft candy, pudding, gelatin, meat products, chewing gum, gravies, as well as non-alcoholic beverages. That seems like it's in a lot of different things that we would normally think about. Also, all natural, once again, if you see that term anywhere on a food packaging, it means virtually nothing. I don't like that. It means virtually nothing. It's put there for a reason, but really doesn't really mean anything. And this is because there's no standard definition for the term all natural when used or on processed or preserved foods. The term is only regulated on meat and poultry, which means it may or it may not contain any artificial flavors, colors, or chemical preservation. Preservations. It can't be preserved. But in processed foods, in that arena, an all-natural product can virtually have anything. I mean, virtually anything. It can be, which means it could be genetically modified. It could be full of pesticides. It could be made with GMO corn syrup. It could be made with additives, preservatives, and artificial ingredients. All-natural does not mean all-organic. So all organic means there's a host of litany of things they cannot put in it. But if it says it has organic ingredients, it means they can put in some synthetics or some GMO stuff like that. Now, let's talk just a little about excitotoxin. You know, an excitotoxin is a chemical that causes a brain cell to become overexcited and fire out of control, leading to death of the cell. Now, I hope you're really getting this. An excitotoxin is a chemical that causes a brain cell to become overexcited. The brain cell gets overexcited, it starts misfiring and firing out of control, which when it does it so much that it kills it. So the cell actually dies. Well, monosodium glutamate, or MSG, is a processed food additive. It's an extremely dangerous neurotoxin or excitotoxin that shrivels and kills brain cells in the hypothalamus and has been linked to migraines, seizures, ADD, ADHD, heart palpitations, tremors, and many other symptoms. And some of these symptoms can even be fatal. Now, I mentioned the hypothalamus. I mentioned it because it's a very important area in your brain that does a lot of things. The hypothalamus is a portion of the brain located just above the brainstem. That's at the base of your skull where your neck attaches. And it's roughly the size of an almond. So it's pretty tiny. But it's incredibly important because it's responsible for certain metabolic processes as well as for the activities of the autonomic nervous system. You know, one of the most important functions of the hypothalamus is to link the nervous system to the endocrine system, which is basically your hormonal system, via the pituitary gland. Pituitary gland basically is like you sitting on a horse and you're sitting on that saddle and you're directing everything. So the hypothalamus, this little almond-shaped area, controls your body temperature, hunger, fatigue, sleep, and your circadian rhythms or circadian cycle. And hunger and thirst. Some of these chemicals that they put on these foods to give you that flavoring affects your hunger and your thirst. That's why you should avoid MSG or monosodium glutamate. And most of you, I must say, are avoiding. I know if you're on this program, you're avoiding that most of the time, right? However, you need to know that there are over 40 hidden names for MSG on food labels. 40 or zero. So foods labeled no MSG or MSG free may not have actual MSG in it, but if they contain these following ingredients, I'm going to run off real quick. There's still MSG in that food. So if you see glutamic acid or glutamate or monopotassium glutamate or calcium glutamate or monoammonium glutamate, magnesium glutamate, natrium glutamate, if it just has glutamate with something in front of it, it's you're looking at MSG. If it says yeast extract, anything hydrolyzed, anything has H-Y-P-R-O-L-Y-Z-E-D has MSG. Any hydrolyzed protein, calcium caseinate, sodium caseinate, yeast food, yeast nutrient, autolyzed yeast, gelatin, textured protein, soy protein, whey protein concentrate, whey protein isolate, anything protein. In some words, vetsin, I put that in there because I hardly ever see that. And another one is a General Moto, and that's actually the company that originally produced MSG. Then there's aspartame. So we're looking at the salts, because salt, sugar, and water are important for the body, right? So when you look at aspartame is about 180 times sweeter than sucrose or a common table sugar. 180 times. I mean, it's sold in more than 100 nations, so it's in a lot of places. It's been sold under the name, brand name, NutraSweet. And if you don't see that a lot, it's sold under the name Equal. A Spoonful, I mean, you probably don't see Spoonful a lot anymore, but it's the thing is, it's a neurotoxin. It's a neurotoxic substance that has been associated with numerous health problems, which includes dizziness, visual impairment, severe muscle aches, numbing of the extremities, pancreatitis, high blood pressure, retinal hemorrhaging, seizures, and depression. And it's suspected of causing birth defects and chemical disruptions in the brain. So when aspartame is digested, it actually breaks down into the amino acids, you know, two nice amino acids called phenylalanine and aspartic acid, plus methanol. Now, methanol, or wood alcohol, is a known poison. We already know it's a poison. Methanol is also found in fruit juices, you know, naturally. But regulatory agencies say that the methanol byproduct of aspartame wasn't harmful. So what they didn't point out was that the methanol content of a diet soda is 15 to 100 times higher than that of fruit juice, into 100 times. And the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, they define the safe consumption level of methanol at 7.8 milligrams per day. Yet, one liter of your favorite beverage, including with aspartame, may contain as much as 56 milligrams of methanol, which is, you know, roughly a little bit over seven times the amount. So if that's not enough, aspartame breaks down ascertained breakdown products or metabolites are even scarier than the component. You know, phenylalanine decomposes into this long word called diketotherazine, or DBK, which is a known carcinogen when it's exposed to warm temperatures or prolonged storage. Okay, so let's keep it cool. Well, even if the products are consistently kept at cooler temperatures, you're not safe. Because at cold temperatures, methanol will spontaneously give rise to a colorless toxin known as formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is what they use in dead people when they're preserving to bury it. The preservative accumulates in the cells of your body and reacts with the cellular proteins such as enzymes and the DNA. So if it says sugar-free or diet on it, don't buy it. You see diet, don't buy it. Now, how do you avoid all of this? Natural doesn't mean safe. Natural only means that the ingredients started out in nature. Arsenic is natural. Hydrochloric acid is natural. But when you eat real whole foods, you automatically avoid artificial. It's simple. You avoid those long lists of you can't memorize them, hard to pronounce ingredients. You avoid all of that. You really don't have to memorize long lists of food additives and all these E numbers in the UK, on France as well. Right? You know, a lot of the European countries use E numbers. You know, just skip the processed food junk and eat real food. If there's a long list of chemicals like carrageenan and ultra-pasteurized and enzyme modified or protein fortified, all those others that I mentioned, avoid it. Just avoid it. You know, a little short recap, you know, beaver anal glands known as, you know, castoreum are typically used in vanilla and raspberry flavor. Because in the beginning, I just said vanilla, but it's also used in raspberry flavor and can legally be labeled natural flavor. L-cysteine or cysteine is used as a dough condition. It's sometimes made of human hair. Yes, I said human hair, but more and more from duck feathers, and can be found in bread and baked goods. A red food coloring that goes by the name of carmine or crimson lake or red 4 or red 40 is made from insects. So you have a choice. I mean, you can let the food companies and the flavor factories conduct chemical warfare on you, or you can treat them like the enemy and stop buying their product. You have to stop buying their products. You can't wait for government regulation. You know, don't say, I'll eat it, you know, I'll eat it just once in a while. Or this won't hurt me this time because I wasn't really, you know, it's on my list and I didn't really think it'd be that bad. I'm just going to eat it this time. Because when it comes to food, you can't compromise because your health is the only thing you've got. Your health is the only thing you've got. And if you're eating one processed food twice a week, three times a month, over time is going to accumulate, and that will lead to chronic illness, and you'll have a major problem at some point, and it won't be traced back to the ingredients in the food. So please don't forget to check us out at wiserliving.com, W-I-S-E-R, living.com, for information and recipes. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV. Please follow us on Wiser Living Radio and get your friends and family to do it also. And like us at facebook.com/wiserliving, and as well as Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And remember to let your food be your medicine. Let your whole food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. All right, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I'm appreciating you. We'll see you next time.